your turn to be afraid.
Are you a fan of things that go bump in the night? Chills up your spine, paralyzed by fright. Thrilled by horror at the center of a chat. Then welcome to the Nerds from the Crypt podcast.
Welcome back to Nerds from the Crypt, where the nerds look at your favorite and sometimes not so favorite horror movies. We also like to invite horror creators to come on to talk about their current and upcoming horror project. I want to thank all of you for being so patient as we work to get new episodes out. Now, if you are an indie creator that would like to come on to the podcast to talk about any of your projects, you can go ahead and contact us over at our social media at NerdsFTC on Twitter. I guess that's called X now, but also on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. You can also email us at nerdsftc@gmail.com. Now for today's episode, I welcome Mr. George Alvarez. He will be talking to us about the beginning of his career and how he got to today, where he is launching an Indiegogo campaign for Exodus Z Issue 1. That's a 24-page story that starts off shortly after the start of the apocalypse. He will also be talking about some of his inspirations and ideas for future horror projects. With that being said, let's go ahead and jump into that interview now.
We were talking a little bit before we got on the air, but can you just let our audience know a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. My name is George Alvarez. I am the writer and creator of Exodus Z. Before I actually started doing comics, as I was speaking to Saul before we were on air, I used to be into the whole reviewing and interviewing indie comic creators as well, back in the day, talking about, now that I think about it, a decade ago. And it's kind of how I got started with meeting so many indie creators, honestly. And I got into certain circles, got to meet people, got to see how the whole thing works. And it inspired me just to start writing my own stuff. You know, ideas here and there for the most part. And they started off as like little fragments until after a while I was able to piece like five ideas together, and I was like, oh shoot, this could be a comic, this could be an issue. It happened more times than not, honestly. And I've managed to create awesome connections through there, and it's through those connections that I met my artist, John Apple. It was because of me doing the whole reviewing of indie comics that I met one person, and then that person introduced me to John. And other than that, dude, nothing. I'm pretty much an open book, no pun intended. And I'm just here to talk about some zombies, talk about the silliness and the goriness of the book, really.
Awesome. And how did you get into horror?
Oh, dude, I just like watching horror. There's a very
just by yourself, or?
No, well, with my wife, we tend to watch the zombies movies more than not. Whenever the baby's asleep, we try to just try to catch whatever's available, whatever pops up in any of the streaming services. But funny enough, that's actually how Exodus Z started. Excuse me. Exodus Z, we were watching. Matt, I talk about this in nearly every interview, and at the last second, I get the name of this damn show. It's a Korean zombie show that's on Netflix. That it's high schoolers or something like that. And it's just a zombie apocalypse for the most part. And there was one part that I was watching that we were watching, and I was just like, I think it was one of the girls starts praying or something like that. And I was just like, it'll be funny. She gets bit, or somehow she dies, then like all of a sudden she's resurrected in heaven, only to like open her eyes and see that there's still another ongoing zombie apocalypse, and she's just like, God damn it. And that kind of sparked the idea of the story, but I couldn't really figure out how to get from point A to point B, and we figured out in the story the proper way of getting them over there, and it worked out. I started writing the issue, started putting pieces together. I think I had the beginning scene and then the attack at the pearly gates ready before I figured out how the hell am I going to get from point A to point B. And once I figured that out, I was just like, forget it, done. The story itself is going to be 3 issues long, and it's the I'm sorry. The story itself is 3 issues long. The first issue, which is issue one, is called What on Earth. Issue two is called For Heaven's Sake, and issue three is called Oh Hell No. First story is 24 pages, and for the most part, we already funded on Kickstarter, and we were already successful with it. And there's a small batch of books out there in the world that some people already have their hands on. We wanted to create another cover for it, so we now have an active Indiegogo campaign right now, where it's a very Indiegogo exclusive by the artist J Red. And it actually just went live less than 12 hours ago. Yeah, less than 12 hours
Brand
ago.
new.
Yeah, it's brand new, it's brand new. It'll still be active by the time this is aired. It's for 45 days in total. We're not really expecting too much to come into it, but just enough just to get these books printed and sent out to all the backers. This one's only asking for $1,000. The original one, I think we hit 3,200, so it wasn't that bad. And nothing other than that. That's pretty much where I'm at right now. This is my debut book, and I have a whole bunch of other stories that once I'm done with Exit of Z, I'll be releasing. Which I actually got some very rough sketches on two of those stories, so maybe it will come out sooner rather than later.
So those stories are above and beyond the two additional issues that you're doing for Exit of Z.
Oh yeah, definitely. Let me get a little bit more into detail. For the most part, Exit of Z, there's three main issues. I already said the names of those. We are also, on a side note, since me and John were basically just trying to get our names out there in the sense, well, he already has his name out there. He already has a couple books out. But more for me, we're trying to just get known, get the Exit of Z universe out there, basically. We've caught up with a couple other indie creators that are setting up anthologies, and we're gonna set up a 6-page companion issue for the first issue, which is going to be called Zombie Fubar, and it basically is gonna go in parallel, I think, between the first. Between page, I want to say 4 and 6, we're gonna do like a little offshoot of a story that's gonna be 6 pages long, but it starts off like around page 4, the main story, and it's gonna finish off before the ending of page 6 or 7, something like that. Just because we had an idea for this story to be added into the main book, but it wasn't gonna make sense because we're gonna be zigzagging before back and forth between these two scenes. And it just didn't really fit. So we're gonna be doing that. It's gonna be in an anthology called Tales from the Collective.
Okay.
They have already, I think, 5 issues or 4 issues already out. They do a yearly thing and then a Halloween one. We're gonna be in the Halloween one for this year. But as for the other two stories, not related to Exit of Z. One of them is actually another zombie story because apparently I, for some reason, like making zombie stories now. That one's actually cool. There's like this B movie out there called Pontypool. I think it's Canadian, where the verbal language gets infected, and when somebody hears this word or something like that, they start raging out, kind of like a 28 Days Later type of thing. And I was just like, that's a
Okay.
very cool concept, and I never see it occur again. And I was just like, okay, what if I change it up a bit? What if there is a zombie invasion, not invasion, another zombie apocalypse where the written language is infected? And I was like, okay, what are the most common things that somebody would write that should be that would cause this type of harm. I was thinking some form of punctuation. So I thought, why not the comma? And I was just like, you know what? Even better. Why don't I just call this comatose? You know, like a play on words with comatose. So that one's going to be called comatose. And ironically enough, the infections are going to start in any area where you have to write a lot, or just a higher ed level, like higher education. So colleges, newspapers, I don't know, governments. And so you're basically, for the most part, you're gonna have zombie nerds in the beginning of the story. So that's one. And another one I have is gonna be an alien invasion slash attack in the middle of the night. Some dumb dude, he works for a supermarket, wakes up at 3 a.m. because he sees a flash of light and he thinks, oh, it's time to go to work. And he starts getting ready, not paying attention. He lives on some basement apartment. When he finally gets out, he has like a little breakfast burrito. Finally, time to go. Walks up the stairs. He gets out, and he just sees it's pitch black. And that's when it hit him. Oh, like wait a minute! It's not 8 o'clock in the morning. It's actually like 3 or something like that. And then he sees some guy just running from one direction to another. And then the guy's just saying, "Avoid the light! Avoid the light!" And then all of a sudden, you see this huge beam of light and just disintegrates this dude. It's kind of a War in the Worlds type of thing. That's as much as I'm going to say, just because that's literally only the first 3 pages. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But those are the other two stories that I'm currently developing, at least past the writing stage. I already have an artist for both of them. For Comatose, I have a colorist already. And we're in that level right now.
So, going back to Exodus Z, and just to reiterate, because we went through that really quick there, but the Exodus Z is the zombie invasion heading into the afterlife, pretty much going into heaven, and not even heaven is safe from the hordes of zombies. Is that
Yeah,
correct?
dude. It's just your average zombie apocalypse, you know, the one that happens every other day. It's just another Tuesday. And they manages after people are being saved, they're going to like churches, for the most part. And they're being saved, they're reaching heaven, avoiding this whole apocalypse thing, and then shit hits the fan, and one of the people that are supposed to be saved and heads up there somehow gets infected along the way. And that just causes mayhem, pandemonium, every synonym to that, and just all hell breaks loose. Oh, not hell, because hell's a different layer. Zombie apocalypse breaks loose at this point. And you're going to see some crazy battles, even if not just the first issue, especially in the second issue where everything starts kicking in, because obviously the titles of the name of the story of the issues, you know, play onto it. So the second issue is going to be called For Heaven's Sake. Angels are introduced, and there's going to be a battle between the two. And when that fails, who could be the only one that saves them? Which was where issue three comes in.
See that in itself just is like a, I don't know if you would consider it a twist or not, but that is something worth waiting for and reading through the stories just to get to that part.
Yeah, dude, for the most part, when I finally had this idea of zombie invasion in heaven, I always tell myself, I'm like, there's only so many original ideas that exist out there. And I was like, you know what, let me look online. Let me see. There has to be something that exists. Like, I've seen fan art of like zombie angels and whatnot, but I don't think I've ever seen any story about a zombie apocalypse in heaven. Dude, I kept on looking, I kept on looking, I kept on looking, I couldn't find anything. Maybe I'm just a bad, I just don't know how to use Google apparently, or I really couldn't find anything. And I just kept on searching. That's when I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna have to start writing this down because this look, if I feel like there's something here. There has to be something here because I haven't seen this before.
You sent me this over to take a look at it, and I was reading it, and I won't give away anything bigger than that, but there is this image of people going up to the pearly gates, and just the way how people, even when they're in heaven, they're still complaining about about heaven.
That's not a spoiler. We can talk about that. Yeah. For the most part, I have a nasty habit of spoiling my book every time I'm on a podcast. Anyways, let me first. I'm playing the movie in my head of the book just to make sure what not to talk about. But for the most part, there's nothing major that I don't mind mentioning. The first, 12 pages is on Global Comics, which is up to, I think, the first 2 pages of Heaven itself. When they're in the long line, somebody says, this is longer than an E-class ticket, which is a reference to the lines in Disney for, the... Mm-hmm. For the high grade rides, there's people complaining, and it's just. I try to make it to the point of this. Just first of all, it's a silly idea to start. Let me just leave it like that. First of all, it's a zombie apocalypse, and then it's a zombie apocalypse in heaven. So I'm already stretching the truth as it is. At this point, I'm just gonna make it silly, but at the same time, I still want to keep it a serious tone of how gory it can get. So me and the artist were just like, let's just add some stupid little cameos, some stupid comments here and there. I always like adding background noise, if that makes sense. So you'll have the main conversation, and then you just see some guy in the background saying, this line is too goddamn long. And then the other one saying, shut up already, dude. Things like that. And I always feel like that brings more life, instead of just one single person in the line of thousands, and that's the only speech bubble, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember right now on the top of my head, because there's just so many little. Call cameos, Easter eggs for the most part, and silly comments here and there.
Yeah. Well, when I was reading it and I was seeing the road, the way how it winds and all that, I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is kind of like Snake, what was it called? Snake from Dragon Ball.
That's that long-ass bridge, basically.
Yeah.
I wanted the original idea behind it. I just pulled up PDF of the book so then I could see those, it's just a couple panels that are like that. For the most part, the original idea I wanted was it to be heaven as a central hub, and then multiple bridges just going in there. And then John was telling me, why not just make this convoluted, stupid-looking bridge that does U-turns for no reason? Maybe we could have one or two entrances at the base, but it's just people making a huge-ass land if they're entering Disney World. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Let's do that.
Yeah. And and that, honestly, I started laughing when in the background I just see a character there that I'm like, oh well, yeah, that makes sense as to why this looks familiar.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That he had his trunks in a twist. I know what you're talking about. For the most part, we added a whole bunch of cameos, dude. I think John added more cameos than I can count.
There is some there that I know I should know. They're slipping my mind when I was reading it. So I know I should know this cameo, but it's slipping my mind.
Well, for the most part, before I forget, my creative team, it's me, George Albers, the writer creator, John Apple, the line art and inker. Then we have Edgar Wolf as the colorist and Nikki Powers as the letterer. And then we have, John Tekokotsis, which does the variant cover B, and I had assistance from Black Bar as an editor. But for the four main ones, John, Edgar, Nikki, and myself, we're in the book.
So you're part of somewhere in there.
Yeah, dude. And it's once I pointed out, it's going to be an obvious thing. There's a part while while they're in line, some guy says, "Man, I should write a book about this."
Oh,
that's
yeah.
me. John is also in line. Let me see if I can find them. He goes, "Holy cow, the spirits doesn't end." Edgar, once the apocalypse actually starts, he is one of the victims, and so is Nikki. Edgar is like holding on to the pearly gates, with the zombie just like latched onto him, and Nikki is the first one that's falling from the sky. Yeah, dude, I made sure that we were all, at least all four of us were in the air, so we exist in this universe. We also die in this universe, clearly. but it's definitely a fun book. It's fun, it's funny, it's gory. It does exactly what we were trying to accomplish.
As far as the tone of it, how did y'all come up with the tone? Is it something that was already from the very beginning, or did it come as you were creating it?
The tone of the story was originally more serious than anything else. Let me leave it like this. I went through edits, and I know I drove John insane. Oh no, I wouldn't say I drove him insane because he caused like half the edits. We would go back and forth and we'll say, let's get it as gory as possible. And sometimes gory has to have a side of silliness. I think in the very first couple pages, when the preacher, well, not even that part, even before the zombies reach the preacher, there's already a zombie that has bunny ears on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were talking about how it's usually those obscure situations that you're looking at that just makes no sense that actually adds so much detail. When the preacher's fighting off that zombie, he has a toothbrush coming out of his mouth. And then we just started getting into it, and we started enjoying the silliness behind it, and I was like, okay, we're going to have to change this up a bit. And for the most part, I tell John basically the primary and maybe like the secondary, the stuff that I want in the background, I tell him what I want to be there. And then I tell him, look, this scene is going to have 1,027,300 characters. I don't care how they look like. Just don't get me in trouble. Go for it. And then that's where the bridge scene came in. And so there's just a ridiculous amount of cameos in that bridge scene, which I'm cool with. I'm perfectly fine because we're still vague at the same time. Nobody's labeled or anything like that, except for maybe. Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, I really like the colors and the way they pop out in the book.
Dude, Edgar does an amazing job. Edgar does this thing with his colors, and you look at the first couple pages when the preacher is still speaking to his parishioners.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lighting effect in front of the preacher with the parishioners in the background, or vice versa, that you're looking from behind the parishioners and you're seeing the preacher. And since there's like where the parishioners are, it's darker because there's less lighting, and you can actually see the foreground and the background separated. Then and anything that's in the background kind of gets blurred out a little bit. And it just adds this depth to it. And I remember when we started working and he did, I think he did the first test page he did, I think it was like page, wasn't even page one. I think it was like page two or three. I think it was page two. And Thomas and Angela, which are two characters that are running in, they just finished getting in, and the preacher's talking to everybody, and you just see the backside of the preacher, which is like this bluish tone with this highlight on the edge. And then you look at the parishioners that are there and they're blurred out. And it just adds this depth to it that I was just like, wow, this looks great. Maybe it's just me because I noticed the little details and I've been staring at these pages for months before they were released. But you notice these tiny details here and there. And then on top of that, Nikki did her damnest to make sure that the speech bubbles, especially for the zombies, just flowed with the story, you know? For the most part, the zombies have like this greenish, dilapidated speech bubbles, and then everybody else just has this regular speech bubble. But to me, the colors match perfectly. And the funny thing is that John and Edgar has never met. They've never done projects together, but it just flowed so well on the first shot that, and for it to be my debut book, I literally can't complain about it. I've been super happy with it, with the quality. It's definitely an amazing creative team that I've been blessed, no pun intended, on having in this unholy zombie book.
So, like, and I said, I like the colors and of the book itself, but there's this panel where there's the preacher is holding the cross to the towards the zombie, and like this heavenly light comes out of it, this blue light, and catches the zombie on fire. And there's something about those colors, like the blue and the orange flame color, that just pops out of the page. And I'm looking at it right now, and it's looks awesome.
Yeah, dude, that's actually color theory. Edgar, he has, I think, like 2 decades of experience. And when I was in high school, I also took Teenage Pro. And one thing I learned is that a lot of movies, they tend to do the best contrast that you can do is usually like an orange hue with like a blue, like a warm color on top of a cold color. And it just makes it pop, man. It makes it pop so well. If you notice the blue, the outline is not, it doesn't have a black outline. It has that white outline. And the orange has the black outline. So it just pops out so well that it literally looks, it just feels like you're getting that brightness onto yourself at that point.
Well, yeah, so book one is the hook, right? 24 pages. What are you thinking about the other ones? Are they going to be longer? Are they going to be around the same length?
For the most part, I have book two. I want to say about 75% written proper. Don't get me wrong, like the layout's there, the idea, the direction, everything's there. Just the proper formatting as a script itself. I want to say it's about 75% done. I wanted to make sure I was done with book one and this additional campaign before I complete book two and send it off to John so he can start working on it. They're always going to be a minimum of 24 pages. I believe I figured out a way to have book two at 28 pages. You know, the books have, usually the stories follow anything that's divisible by four because, you know, front and back of one page, front and back of another. That's usually 4 pages right there. So if I don't really reach that next fourth digit, I just condense whatever I wanted to do in those additional 4 pages back down. But I actually recently figured out a scene because I think I want to say, and I'm going off back and forth, I want to say I had the idea of around 26 pages, and I was just trying to figure out what can I do to have those extra 2 pages. And I just had a conversation with John, and I wrote it down because I thought I enjoyed this idea. I thought, how stupid would it be if people are having a conversation mid-apocalypse in heaven, sees an angel getting their ass kicked, and they're arguing whether or not they should help them or not. And then they jump out, and then they all just die. And it was just such a stupid conversation. This is the stupid conversations that we had. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out because I think it's a filler. Don't get me wrong. But it's an entertaining filler. And sometimes you need entertaining fillers. And I was just like, I need to add that in there. By the way, that's a spoiler right there because I haven't even spoken about that. And it's not even in the
Exclusive.
script yet. But yeah, exclusive. Only in Nerds from the Crypt. And I haven't even added it to the script. I literally just have like three paragraphs as a little note on the side that I copy and pasted from Messenger because I know I needed to add it somewhere in there. That kind of implies that obviously there's going to be a zombie fight between angels. Between angels and the zombies. Which was a given. If I tell you it's a three-ish series and it's zombies in heaven, at some point or another, you're going to expect some angels to fight some zombies. But second issue, 24 to 24, I was about to say 48. 24 to, I was about to say 48, to 28. Issue 3 is just in layouts. I haven't figured out, there's maybe one or two transitions between scenes that I haven't figured out yet. But no matter what, it's always going to be 24. Actually, you know what? I think issue 3, since I have to, I have an ending for it. And the ending for it, I don't know if people are going to love it or hate it. And it's just going to be like an end nice standalone type of ending. So I'm going to see whether or not that actually causes it to become a 28 or 32. Maybe it's just a completely like additional scene that I have separated for that. But yeah, for the most part, minimum 24. Issue 2, minimum 24. We already know issue 1. Issue 2 is 24 to 28, and my goal is for issue 3 to be 28 to 32. Trying to get how we used to have books back in the day with 32 pages. And we also have the companion issue for issue 1, and I really want to see if I can do companion issues for 2 and 3. So then eventually I can have an awesome, nice little trade paperback of the three main issues and the three mini issues.
That's cool. Yeah, I don't think I've actually talked to anybody that has that kind of companion issue. At least not that I know of, at least.
Let me give you an idea. The companion issue, which is going to be in the anthology, basically takes place. You know, there's a scene that you see a plane crashing in the issue. It's going to start off taking place of people in that plane. And it's going to lead up to right before the zombie attack on the preacher.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be the survivor there, and then eventually it'll lead back to the preacher. So that's why I say it's a companion issue, because it doesn't add nor retcon anything. It's just like a little, here's a little detour, by the way. Check this out. Okay, now let's go back to the story.
So it's kind of like when you see on TV when you do like a spin-off show and you introduce them in the background kind of, and then, or you bring them up. Not a spin-off, more of a like a just broadening the universe, I guess.
Yes, it's legitimately just expanding onto the universe. Because that if you start off in the plane, you kind of get like a bird's eye view of the city. You don't really get to see the city that much. So you kind of have like a quick 2-second view. You see maybe one or two more stores or buildings and whatnot just to develop the study itself. And the ending of that issue just leads back to the Church of Grace where the preacher is located.
I gotta say, the preacher, once he gets attacked, I kind of want to see more of him kicking ass. because at first, when he first comes out, he's you know, just your typical kind of preacher kind of thing, but as soon as he gets attacked, he's like, "Hell no, you're not gonna take me out that way," and he starts kicking ass there. At that point, kind of wanted to see a little more of him doing that.
The preacher was definitely badass. The preacher, I wanted him to be. What can I say? The story itself, I don't want there to be, how can I put this? Let me think of a proper way to say this. It's one of those stories that basically no one that you would expect to survive survives. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it in the first issue, not just the preacher. And I just want there to be like, okay, no loose ends, zombie invasion just messes everybody up. The preacher in the beginning, I felt like he needed to be cut and dry in the beginning. Slightly annoying in that sense of how almost prideful he is. And he just gets humbled in the worst way possible by getting attacked.
And he doesn't, he's not sure what's going on because he's
Yeah, because it shouldn't be happening, you know? Like, that makes zero sense. And it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a, not a breaking of the fourth wall type of thing. It's just like, the story shouldn't, we made it make sense, but it shouldn't make sense, you know? And even the preacher's just like, what the hell's going on? And until, you know, it's a little too late. But I thought that page of the preacher fighting back, dude, it was such a cool page. I have thought of doing some form of prequel to the story, but man, that's developing the story way too much at that point. I don't want there to be any inconsistencies. But obviously, the zombie apocalypse, we're thrown into the zombie apocalypse. I wouldn't say midway, but like a quarter way in. So, because the people, the parishioners are already at the church, these people are still trying to make it to the church right before getting saved. So, at some point or another, the preacher must have opened the doors for the people to be saved. So, I thought maybe I could do some cool fighting scenes just to add that in there, make it give us some cool shots because who was gonna guess that all of a sudden he knows how to do this like divine power and just like zap the hell out of a zombie and just burn him to a crisp.
So is there we talked quite a bit about the issue, and I think we've covered pretty much everything. Is there any other I guess background or anything that you want to share with us on this? Or oh, you know what? We talked about the Indiegogo at the beginning, and we kind of just stopped talking about it. But
Yeah, well, we can go back to
for
that.
For those of who want to go out there and I guess donate to this the Indiegogo to be a backer, what can people get as part of their what is it called? The tiers, like yeah, the
What do you
tiers,
get
the
from the
more
tears from
tiers.
backing? Yeah.
There
Okay,
you go.
so the book is done. Obviously, we're talking about it. The book is done. I ran a Kickstarter in February or January to February. It was successful. We got the books printed out about a month ago, just because we had a couple delays, and it was a success. We have a couple good reviews. We did what we needed to do. The book has two covers. Cover A, which is by John Apple. I have to say the last name because cover B is also by John Psychocosis. I have made, like I said, many connections in the indie community, and I have a lot of pinups that came with the story. And there was this one pinup created by the artist Jay Red, and I always thought, man, this is such a badass looking pinup. I have to use it. And we ended up using that as our Indiegogo cover variant. So I'm pretty sure at some point or another we're going to link the Indiegogo somewhere. But if you were to go to the Indiegogo page, it's basically Exit is the issue one, What on Earth, Indiegogo variant. And basically talks about the story, gives you a very quick synopsis, the name of the three issues, talks about all three covers. The Indiegogo is going to have all three covers available. So not just is it going to be specifically for the Indiegogo cover, it's also going to be basically like the second chance for people to get cover A or cover B. For just to go quickly through the options, $6 gets you digital, $12 gets you one physical copy of whichever cover you want. All going to be the same price. We have an exclusive pin that was in the original Kickstarter, which is the logo with an orange background. In the Indiegogo, We went back to the pin maker. Their name is Pins Bro. They're located here where I'm at in Miami. Amazing job. They're these metal pins. She made a variant of the pin, but in purple to match the Indiegogo because we highlighted more purple in this cover. Each cover, the outline of the lettering is a specific color. Like in the original John Apple cover, it's like a burgundy red. John Cotsis is like a dark bluish. This one's purple. So we kind of matched purple in a way. And so then the Pins Bro pin for Exit of Z is purple for this. We still have the orange ones available as well. We made a batch for the Indiegogo campaign. For the most part, this cover, the Indiegogo cover, is going to be a limited print run. Cover A and cover B, I'll continue printing in the future. This one's just going to be one printing. So it all depends on how many people actually back the book, depends on how many we're going to do printing. We're obviously going to keep a few extras for ourselves afterwards. You can get the Indiegogo cover plus one of the other covers for 22, whichever one of the two. We have this thing called the Digital Deluxe, which did a very good job in the Kickstarter. Basically, with all the connections that I've made in the past, I've asked a couple creators to see if they could donate, in quotation marks, donate the use of their book for the Digital Deluxe, which will, in the Kickstarter, I think we ended up reaching like 15 books in total. Because we just kept on unlocking more and more books as along the way. This one right now, I want to say it'll be Exodus D will be one book, and then we have already one, two, three, four books as well, which more will be unlocked afterwards. So right now it's $5, $25 digitally. That puts it about $5 per book. Eventually, the more we unlock, the more books is gonna be there. It's a very good deal, honestly. Like I said in the Kickstarter, it ended up being like a dollar per book or something like that. Then we had
Yeah, that's
the
always a great great deals for the backers.
yeah, dude, and it introduces the backers to so many amazing creators. It's just a huge list. I'm thinking about it right now of how many people I had in the previous one. And legitimately, I think we did have like around 15, 16 bucks, if not more. I wanted to even say we had more. I lost track with the amount, and it was just to the point that I was just like, I need to stop adding books here because it's just so much to keep track of. And it was just take, I had to create a Dropbox file, and it was just taking up so much space from my Dropbox. I was like, I need to stop. So we're gonna do the same thing this time around. We're only at four. So it all depends on how many how much more we go above funding, which in this one the funding is at 1,000. It's not that difficult to reach to it. It's just it's a different platform. Indiegogo and Kickstarter are very different. Excuse me, sorry about that. Okay, so I was talking about the deluxe. Okay, Heavenly Horror Bundle. Heavenly Horror Bundle is basically you get a copy of all three covers and both of the pins, the orange and the purple. So you get a lot of stuff for $50. You get the three different covers plus the two different pins, and you still get access to the Digital Deluxe. So $50 is where it's at. There's also one that's $100 that's more for like the collectors. Don't get me wrong, if you guys want to pick up the $100, I'm a happy camper. It comes with three copies of the Indiegogo cover, two copies of the John Apple cover, and two copies of the John Cotes cover. Two of the purple pins and one of the orange pins. All these books are signed by me. I'm not charging additional for that. It's all there, so even at $12, well, some people might think that's a little steep. At the end of the day, it's to fund the book, it's to make the book out there. And you get some cool stuff because we're going to be unlocking stretch goals for the most part. Every 15 backers, I'll be re revealing something new. Once we hit that 1,000 goal, so everybody that does a physical backing will get the sticker of Exodus Z, the logo itself. So it's not even anything additional. Like, once we hit funding goal, we unlock the sticker. So it's basically confirmed in that sense. Every $250 afterwards, we will be adding pinups, more stickers, things like that. To give you an idea of how it worked out in the Kickstarter campaign, we had three separate stickers. We had three small prints and a medium-sized print. Everybody that did $12 and up, except for anything, everybody that has a physical backing got that. No ifs, ands, or buts. So anytime we go above funding goal and we hit a specific amount, it's not that we pocket that money or anything. That goes straight right back to the backer with more things unlocked, more things printed. We just want the backers to be happy because we love to have the fans going out of their way and just joining up, becoming an Exodite, which is what I've been calling the fans, Exodus Z, the Exodites. Just becoming an Exodite and just following us and coming back for whenever issue 2 comes along. And we're going to be printing the book locally here in the United States. I say locally, I'm in Miami. But we're going to be printing through Comics Wellspring, which they're a little bit more up north. And the books themselves, they are top-notch. I can't complain about the quality of these books. And I'm just catching my breath now of all the stuff that I said. Go to the Indiegogo. You can see our reviews. I think we got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reviews posted there. I have a few more than that, but I didn't want to spend the whole Indiegogo campaign just posting up reviews. I think I've done my due diligence to make sure that backers could be content, happy with it, and just help me reach that finish line at the end of the day.
And remind me if I forgot that we already talked about this. So this 45-day campaign, after those 45 days, what do you have a timeline as far as when the comics would go out?
Okay, so and for the most part, both every crowdfunding platform holds the money for like let's say 2 weeks. After the 45 days, they're gonna hold the money to however long they want to hold the money. I think with Kickstarter, it was like 2 weeks and a day. It was something. It wasn't a perfect 2 weeks. It was something weird like that. Once the funding comes through, it's going to immediately go to printing just because the book is done. For the Kickstarter campaign, it took a while because I think the Kickstarter campaign, we were only halfway through the book when the campaign launched. I would say, let me look at the calendar. This will be done September 18th. That's a week. So that's going to push us into the next month. We're looking in October, at any point in October. It's right around the corner. And with that, I should have everything ready. Once I see us hitting that $1,000 goal, and I see us reaching the following goals before it even the funding comes in, I'll probably start getting like the pinups printed out, the stickers printed out. Just have all that ready. But when the books come in, we'll be good to go. Books take about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, from the minute I pay the printers to it actually arriving at the house. So I want to say mid to late October. I think that's a fair estimate because once the books arrive, I literally shipped everything in less than a week, and everybody got their books nearly immediately.
And I know that's not a faster and easy turnaround, right?
Nah, dude, it's for the most part it's just tedious work, but I'm perfectly fine with it. For the Kickstarter campaign, we only had two international backers. Both of them were in Canada. I think one of them got the book within the week. The other one took 2 weeks to get it because for some reason one of them when I checked the tracking, one of them was just fly over, saying, all good. The other one, for some reason, went through shipment. And I was just like, okay, that's weird. So that one took forever and a half for him to arrive. But yeah, I wanted to make sure I had picked up all the supplies, like I said. Literally, it was just cardboard mailers all filled with empty bags and boards with the pinups and the stickers already in there. It was just a matter of signing the book, letting it dry, slip it into the bag and board, put the tape in the background, seal it up, get the label, send. And it was just every night I would prepare like maybe 15 packages up until the point where I was done.
So, have we missed anything? Have we or have we covered pretty much everything that we need to cover for the not only the campaign but also the book itself?
Just for the most part, I basically said everything about the campaign. Right now, it went live today. We're 7% funded. It ain't much, but I wasn't really expecting it to hit as quick as it was with Kickstarter. Kickstarter, I want to say I was hitting 24% on day one, and I think Kickstarter's campaign was I put it for 28 days. Or did I put it for 30? I think I put it for 30. But it was a much higher amount, so I'm not sweating it too much. I just need to see the, as long as there's a like a steady movement, I'm a happy camper. Other than that, my socials, I'm most active on Instagram. Now I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and Twitter, and it's at the Comic Unknown. Facebook is just Comic Unknown, which was the old title of my review blog. I just kept the name. Also on Threads, the same thing as the Instagram, so at the Comic Unknown. And hopefully once this campaign goes through and we're set, I might even do a giveaway. Actually, I did a giveaway about a week or two ago where three people won a copy of issue one through Instagram, so we had that going. And just see, it's just back the book. If you cannot if you don't have the capability of backing the book, just share it, get the word out there, follow us on Instagram and the other socials, and just help us print this Indiegogo exclusive variant.
Yeah, that's actually something that I say to almost every episode is if you're unable to back it financially, share the link, 'cause that's actually the best way to assist. Other than backing, it's the best way to assist the what's it called, the project reaching a bigger audience. And even if you can't back it, maybe one of your friends can, and then they'll share it and one of their friends can, and that just helps the project in a way that people don't even know.
Yeah, dude, and it doesn't have to be the $50, the $100. It's just, even if you guys just want to show support, throw a buck, throw $6 to get it digitally. I'm a happy camper. I just want to be able to successfully have this book out there with this cover. And at the end of the day, getting this done and printed is just gonna help us work on to the next book. And just have that stability of having something out there, getting more people to discover Exodus Z and getting our names out there, man.
All right, well, George, I want to go ahead and thank you very much for joining me and spending almost well, actually a little bit more than an hour talking about the book and about other things that we talked about your other projects. And yeah, just definitely let me know when all the other stuff comes out. I'll be more than happy to plug it, or if you want to come on and talk about those projects, just let me know.
Definitely, dude. I very much appreciate the opportunity they've given me.
Oh, my pleasure. And if next time, with if we actually give a little bit more time to prepare, I give you more time to prepare because I didn't give you much time this time around. But if I give you more time to prepare, maybe we can get some of the other people of the team to join us as well.
Oh, definitely. I know John loves getting on. He's gotten on a few podcasts with me already, so I'm pretty sure he'll be down.
Well, want to go ahead and leave it there, and I will be leaving the link not only to the Indiegogo campaign, but also your social media for the listeners to go ahead and click on and either back or share the, you know, all the links there to help the project move forward. And well, once again, George, thank you for joining us, and thank you all for joining us here on Nerds from the Crypt.
Very much appreciated.
Are you a fan of things that go bump in the night? Chills up your spine, paralyzed by fright, thrilled by horror at the center of a chat. Then welcome to the Nerds from the Crypt podcast.